From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Jody. Stay tuned.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, and happy November. And we're really excited. Tonight is part two of our Elvis controversial show. You know, this will be an interesting part because I think we're going to be able to piece some things together. We're going to recap on what we heard on the first part. And then, you know, then we're going to talk to him, to Mickey about some new stuff and that he has for us. So, you know, you want to make sure you join in. If you have some questions, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a live chat going. So if you want to ask some questions, be sure to ask them, and then we can get Mickey to go ahead and answer those. So all the way from Kentucky is Mickey Moran. So, Mickey, I hope you can hear me and you're there.
I am, and I'd like to thank you for having me on your show again.
Yeah, no, thank you. I remember the first time we had the show, and there was a lot of interest, and it piqued a lot of interest. And then we were supposed to have the show again, and there was some technical issues. Whoops, some technical issues that happened on the station, which created some problems for us. So we were not able to air that show, and it was sad because I think there were like 200 people that wanted to hear about it. And so, but anyway, what we'll go ahead and do is we're going to cover a little bit about what we shared the first time as a recap, and then we're going to take some questions, and we'll go from there. How about that? Does it sound okay?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, great. So let's just kind of recap a little bit without going, because we did a whole show on this. It was like an hour. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do, you know, we're not going to spend all that time on that first part. But let's just go ahead and tap in onto some of the most important points of why you think and that Elvis Presley is still with us in some form, and perhaps what got you even started in this? Were you, you know, for those people that might not have listened to part one, they're listening to this part. Were you a fan of his? Is this how it started? Or what got you started in this whole arena of seeking out what truly happened to him? Or were there certain things that flashed in your mind and you said, you know what, that could be a problem, or I see some errors here, or something's wrong, or what have you. So why don't you share with people that, and then just lead us in these points where we, you know, when we started the first show, just some real important points that led you to believe, you know, there was more to us, there was more to this than what meets the eye. So go ahead.
All right, absolutely. Yes, I am a huge Elvis fan, and I believe I pointed out in the first program that began when I was 8 years old. My family took me to Graceland, which was the summer after Elvis supposedly died. We went to Graceland. It was not open to the public yet, but we could walk past the graves. We spent a lot of time in Memphis. We went to his birthplace in Tupelo, and from that moment, I've been a huge Elvis fan. I listen to his music daily. I watch his movies when I can. And for the first 10 years, from the age of 8 to 18, I was just a huge Elvis fan. My best friend came to my house shortly after graduating from high school, and brought me Gail Brewer-Giorgio's book, Is Elvis Alive? And he told me, before I read the book, he told me what it was about and some of the points that Gail had brought up. And when I read that book, some of the points that she had even way back then, which was 1988, I believe, were some very good points. And, of course, we've discovered a lot more even since then. But the first thing that really stood out was spelling of Elvis's middle name on his grave marker. And not only Elvis's name being misspelled, but also his twin brother in Meditation Gardens there, his grave marker or memorial marker, because he's actually not buried there, is also misspelled.
Okay, now, question for you. When you're talking misspelled, now, I already know personally this point, but for those that are listening that do not recall or have not listened to part one, are you talking about the misspelling of Elvis? Are you talking about the misspelling of his middle name? What are you actually talking about?
On Elvis's grave marker, it's the misspelling of his middle name. Elvis's official birth certificate is Elvis Aaron Presley, with Aaron being spelled A-R-O-N. And on his grave marker at Graceland, it is spelled A-A-R-O-N, although his birth certificate, army papers, marriage certificate, all of his important papers throughout his life, his army induction papers, everything was A-R-O-N. The misspelling comes in on his grave marker, with the double A spelling of his middle name. And then, of course, Jesse, his twin brother that was stillborn, his name on his birth certificate is J-E-S-S-E. Every place we see a book written about Jesse or mentioned in a book about Elvis, it's J-E-S-S-E. But his memorial marker that they put up in Meditation Gardens at Graceland is J-E-S-S-I-E.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think would cause that?
I think Elvis did not want to see his real name on a grave marker. I think that he didn't want to tempt fate by putting his real name on a grave marker if he was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And since we know for a fact that Jesse's grave there, or marker there is really no grave. His mm-hmm. is a memorial marker. So since we know he is not buried there, he is actually buried down in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Since that is an empty grave, I think mm-hmm. that it is a hint that Elvis is also empty, to also have the misspelling.
Or could it be that the company just flat out was not good at spelling names, and they messed up on? I mean, could it be that they messed up on both of them? I mean, you know, could that be a possibility?
You know, I've had to play that out in my head in order to carry on this investigation. That has been one of the things I've had to think about. You're
right.
Talking about two misspelled grave markers in a cemetery of five. So you're talking 40% of the graves are misspelled. I don't know if there's another cemetery anywhere with 40% of the graves misspelled, or even just two. If there are, it's probably with families that didn't have the money to correct the error that the Presley family has. I think they would have fixed that if that were the case.
Yeah, you know, that's very true, because with the amount of money that they have, that can be easily corrected. So, okay, so thank you for explaining that. That's awesome, because I appreciate that. Let's talk about some other things rather quickly, and then we're going to get into some things tonight.
All right. I think another important point that we covered in the last interview was Elvis's involvement with police agencies. Elvis was a full-fledged member of several police agencies on a city and county level. And we discussed that in 1970, he wrote the letter to President Nixon asking to be a federal agent at large. and he was invited to the Oval Office. President Nixon did appoint him as special assistant in the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. From this point, Elvis did get involved in some undercover sting operations that are mentioned in the Elvis file on Elvis. And I do believe that that is a very important part of this, because if you read the FBI files or even several books about Elvis that have been written, you can read all about all of the death threats he was receiving in 1977 against himself and his family. And I believe that plays an important role in why he had to hide and get away.
So, and the death threats being from
Death threats were from Weathermen Underground, Black Panther, several organizations of that time.
So, you know, really kind of interesting is then he was portrayed. So here he is, you know, he's involved in the narcotics undercover, you know, investigation of you know, illegal things and drugs and all this. But most of the American people were led to believe that the, one of the reasons that he died was because of a drug overdose, right?
Yes, they would.
So they were led to believe this, right? Correct?
They were led to believe this. Elvis's drug use was, Elvis took pills to help him wake up in the morning. He was an insomniac. He took some pills to help him sleep at night.
Okay.
The newspapers and former employees of his highly exaggerated his prescription drug use. And part of his prescription drug use that was exaggerated was even done by himself. He was trying to work his way into certain sting operations, and he wanted to be believed to be a drug user for a certain period of time. But at one point, he did get on stage in front of live audience and tell everybody, hey, I'm a federal agent. I'm not really into the drugs like we have said that I was. I mean, he admitted to why he had to do that. And he came out and told the audience flat out, I am a federal agent. My name is listed in the black book put out by the government of federal agents. So I think a lot of that was a ruse that had to be done for some of the things he was involved in. But then the media carried it way too far. I mean, it was highly exaggerated.
Right, right. I think, you know, the other thing that's kind of concerning to me was, and we're going to talk real quickly about this, but apparently there were different stories about how he died, and there was an elapse of time, is that correct, in when it was supposedly reported and the ambulances arriving there? Am I right? Am I right on the money there? And
yeah.
And so I think that that creates kind of a problem. But could it have just been such a frenzy that people just seem to forget everything that transpired? I mean, I guess I don't know if it was on your website that I saw, or I saw some photos that showed an ambulance, right? Because they, I guess it was alluded that the ambulance, you know, the ambulance was racing to get there. But the picture that was actually shown, I don't know if it's on your website or if it was something else, it didn't really seem to appear that way, right? Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. The ambulance that was supposedly in such a hurry to get to where it was going was actually barely creeping along, according to some accounts. And I have seen the photo that you're talking about, and it's not on my website, but I have seen that.
So that's kind of interesting. So, okay, so we've got that. And then what else did we cover that seemed somewhat important before we go into some more proof?
Well, we did cover that It has been decided by a graphologist, Mr. Wiest, that Elvis did fill out his own medical examiner's report post-autopsy. His own handwriting is found on his medical examiner's report. There is a video of that on my YouTube channel of Mr. Wiest explaining the procedures, exactly how he went through matching handwriting to known handwriting of Elvis, and that it is his. He did fill out his own medical examiner's report after he was supposed to be dead.
Now, that's pretty creepy. Now, let's talk about the insurance policy.
Yes. You're talking about the life insurance. Elvis had three.
Okay.
Now, he had two that were paid-up policies, which means he had paid those in full before he supposedly died. Those two could be cashed in at any time because they were paid up. He owned those, and they were cashed in.
Okay.
The third policy through the Lloyd's of London company was not fully paid up. So if somebody cashed that in and Elvis were still alive, that would be felony insurance fraud.
Mm.
So this policy has never been cashed in.
Now, do we know up to this date, is there an update that says that this policy has not been cashed in?
The last update I got was about 9 years ago.
Okay.
If it had been cashed in since then, someone would have notified me to let me know this happened. I'm sure it still hasn't, but I have nothing to authenticate that.
Okay. So we're not completely 100% sure, but you probably would have been already notified had that been the case. Okay.
Most likely, yeah.
So let's talk about his cousin at the time of the death. When his cousin walked through and saw his Elvis's body, did his cousin not say that that is not my cousin or something to that fact?
Yes. You're speaking of Gene Smith. His cousin on his mother's side,
right.
He walked past the casket, and that interview is also on my YouTube channel,
Gene
actually speaking, and
right.
He does say that the nose was too flat and pudgy, the chin was wrong, he said he saw glue around the hairline, there was a sideburn was coming off and had to be pushed back on. He said that the hands in the casket were very smooth, and he said Elvis had very calloused hands from karate, from breaking boards and things. And he did say at the end of this interview that he did not believe that that was Elvis in the casket.
Now, one thing that was interesting that we didn't talk about the first time, you said that actually the sideburns, one of the sideburns was coming off?
Gene mentioned one of the sideburns was coming off.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. So now, I know that when people pass on, a lot of these the people that the morticians would have you, I know that there is gluing where they have to glue the eyelids shut, right?
Correct.
A lot of times from keeping them from popping open or whatever. That's kind of gross, but and probably scary for those loved ones that are passing by the casket, you know, if the eyelids are not glued. So, but I've never heard anything about hairlines having to be or sideburns having to be glued. That seems kind of a little bit strange. Unless of course your hair starts to, I don't know. Does your hair fall off when you die, you know, all of a sudden, you know? Who knows? I don't know, but that seems kind of odd.
Yeah, it's quite odd.
Then the other thing was, didn't he have something like 11 pallbearers?
Well, you know, there are accounts that say 9.
Okay,
if you look at the photo, yeah,
right.
Some accounts say 9. I have read that.
Okay. All right.
But if you look at the photo of the pallbearers carrying the casket into the mausoleum where he was originally buried at Forest Hill Cemetery, I'm counting about 12 or 15. They stand in front of each other where it's kind of hard to get an exact number, but it certainly looks like more than nine to me.
Okay.
But, you know, normally you would have six.
Okay, so that being said, with that many people, like if you had 9 to 11 people carrying a casket, it could be one of two things. Either there were a lot of people around that decided, you know, we were very close to him, we'd like to be part of this, the family asked that these people be part of it, or, in fact, the casket weighed more than a normal casket would weigh, thus you need more manpower to pick that up, right? I would assume if you have 9 to 11 people carrying a casket, that casket would have to weigh quite a bit, right?
Right. Well, the official story of in several different locations, I mean, this is not just me quoting Gail Brewer Giorgio. This has been in books from Elvis's own family that wrote books. The coffin weighed 900 pounds. Now, this was with the body in it.
900 pounds. 900 pounds. How much does an average casket weigh?
Your average casket would be about 300 pounds.
Okay.
This one is 900
pounds. I mean, what was he doing,
pounds.
Taking all of his gold with him, you know? Like, I mean... I mean, you know, I mean, really, what are you doing, Elvis? You taking all your, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, 900 pounds? That's really insane. So that would mean if the average casket weighs 300, and say he got an elaborate casket, and let's say that weighed 350 or 4, that would mean that he would have had to weigh 500 pounds.
Right.
Give or take.
Yeah.
So I knew that he gained weight, but I didn't think, you know, he was any competition for the Pillsbury Doughboy or anything like that. I mean, right?
No, I don't think Elvis was anywhere near 500 pounds. Elvis might have been 250.
Okay.
Of course, the body they did the autopsy on the medical examiner's report, it was listed as 170. So I don't know what body was in the coffin or what was in the coffin. Now, you have a lot of funeral goers that went.
Right.
That talked about the cool air coming from the casket. Now, it's speculated air conditioning unit or dry ice was packed in there. It could have been for a wax dummy to look like Elvis. It could have been because the body had been dead a little longer than we were told and needed to be preserved. Because they used a double body. So
why would you, though, you know, once you put embalming fluid in a body, that should last, and I don't know how long of a time period between when he passed on to when the funeral was, do you know?
Well, actually, when the people filed past the casket, like Gene Smith and all of these funeral goers, reporters, everybody, it was the next day. It was August the 17th. The funeral was August 18th. But all of the people that were filing past it talking about the cool air and everything, it was the very next day after Elvis was supposed to have passed.
That's weird. Okay, and so maybe if indeed this was not his body, because we don't know, and this is all speculation, and we don't want to mislead people, but if indeed his cousin said, you know, it doesn't look like him, yada, 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 his hands don't look. A lot of times embalming fluid can make people look, you know, kind of like wax dummies. I mean, it really can. It can make people look very, you know, just like a kind of like a wax, like something you'd see in a wax museum. So that could very well be, but just some of the stuff just seems so weird and so out there and far-fetched. So anyway, I just want to remind people we are talking with Mickey. Mickey Moran, who has a website. And really, this is the Elvis conspiracy. I mean, it's really something that Mickey has been, following and doing for probably at least 20, 25 years, I would assume. He's been covering this and following this. And so, again, part one is on, it is on the network. You can listen to it. This is part two, and we are now going to touch on some things that have never been touched on before, at least on part one, but you have shared with others about this. Before we do that, are you ready to maybe answer a few questions that I had come in? Are you comfortable
Perfect.
With that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I just have three questions right here, right now. Number one. Do you really believe that he is alive after all, how many years later, and still he is not around? And that's from J.D. So,
J.D.
How would you answer that?
I would say absolutely I believe he's still around. If I didn't believe he was still around after doing this for 25 years, I would have given up. I wouldn't keep doing what I would consider wasting my time. If I thought
absolutely.
He was gone. But absolutely, I believe he's still with us. He would be 78 years old. He's still younger than a lot of performers that are performing today. So, yeah, I definitely believe he's still with us.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now, the second one. Are you just trying to make a name, and that is why you want to promote this story? And that's from John.
No. People have accused me in the past of being in this to make money off of Elvis's name, yada, yada, yada. First off, it's not about my name. It's about the truth for the fans. And I've never made a dime. I give my book away for free on my website that I wrote.
And can you give us that website again? Why don't you give us that website? That's a good, right now would be a good time, just that you mentioned that. Give us that website that people can go to.
Sure thing. The website is called The Presley Assignment.
Okay.
It is elvisconspiracy.webs.com, WEBS.com.
Okay.
On the front page there, you can find the link to my Presley Assignment Facebook, the YouTube channel with all of the videos. You can email me. All of my links are right on that front page.
Okay, great. Okay. So there you go. So to John's question, John basically had asked if you were in this to make a name, and that's why you want to promote this story. So, John, your answer is no, he's been doing this for 25 years, and there's really nothing in this for him monetarily. There's no need for him to make any money off of this. This is not what he's doing, and he's even mentioned the fact that he has a book and he's given that away. So that would take care of that question. And the last question we have: how many other people are there around with a similar opinion to that of yours? And that's from R.E. So again, how many people are there around with a similar opinion to that of yours?
Well, I can tell you that I have put a team together of people like-minded that help with the investigation. Now, just on my team that worked with me, you're looking at 190-something people. I can't tell you how many people worldwide. I can tell you that when Bill Bixby did the Elvis Files TV special and people actually took the time to watch the evidence and call their votes in to the TV show, that 84% of the people who looked at the evidence believed Elvis was alive when that show aired. I don't know.
84%?
84% at that time. which was 1992, that he did the show. I can't tell you how many are still, you know, in that category today, but.
Okay. So now let me ask you this. That 84%, and when Bill Bixby did his show back in 1992, did some of the following information that you're going to share with us, was that already made privy to him? Did he already know about this? Had that already come out?
A lot of it had. Now, one of the things we're going to touch on tonight was not available yet, which is the DNA that we didn't make it to in our last interview.
Right.
Most of the information was available, and even Gail Burr-Giorgio was on his special, and she's the one that discovered a lot of this information. Monty Nicholson was on his special. He was one of the major investigators. So a lot of this was on there. Some of it has came out since that show.
So really, I guess my question would be this. Now I've done some DNA testing myself just for personal reasons, and I know how accurate that is. But when you first heard about this, were you kind of shocked? Were you kind of shocked about it? And I mean, why don't you tell people exactly what was found, so we have a better understanding.
The only thing I was shocked about is that someone was able to pull this off and do it. Now, there have been two DNA tests. I'm going to talk about the first one here first. The first DNA test that was ran was in 1997.
Okay.
And it was done by a gentleman named Bill Beeney. And he was owner of the Elvis is Alive Museum up in Wright City, Missouri. And he had always believed Elvis was alive. He put the museum together. And he wanted to prove to himself that he was right. So he did the first DNA test that was done, and that first one was done by going to Baptist Memorial Hospital, where it was Elvis's hospital, where he went when he needed any treatments. And Elvis had had a liver biopsy done back in 1975, and the tissue samples were still labeled at the hospital. So Bill Beeney had a test ran to compare the tissue of this liver biopsy to tissue from the body they did the autopsy on, which was at the same hospital. And there was no match. Elvis did not match this body they did the autopsy on. Now, people, for about 5 years, people said, you know, Bill Beeney could have faked this. Who knows where he got his tissue from? Because it was ran as a paternity test. He did not tell anybody, this is, you know, we're running Elvis's tissue. This was done as a paternity test. And all of the LabCorp test results, official pages, are on my website from that test. But in 2002, Fox News picked up on this. And they actually ran a three-way DNA test. Because one of the things we spoke about, if you remember, Joey, in part one of our interview, was this Jesse person who claims to be Elvis. So Fox News decided to do a three-way DNA test. So they asked Jesse to send in some samples for testing. So this Jesse person actually sent in some blood from... he sent in a bloody pair of blue jeans and his fingerprints on a card. So they took the bloody blue jeans and they tested from the 1975 liver biopsy. They also went to the hospital. And the Fox News broadcast of this is on my YouTube channel, the whole broadcast that shows them going into the hospital, getting the controlled, labeled samples. I mean, it's all done legitimately. Mm-hmm. But they tested Jesse's bloody jeans against Elvis's liver biopsy and against the body they did the autopsy on.
Mm-hmm.
All three were different. Nothing matched. So Jesse was not Elvis. Elvis was not the body they autopsied. It was all different. And this was all done by Fox News, and I have that broadcast is on my YouTube channel.
Okay, so, but, you know, okay, let's play devil's advocate here. Big deal, somebody sends in their bloody blue jeans. What if it wasn't really Jesse's bloody blue jeans? What if it was, you know, somebody else, the man on the moon or whatever? We don't have a guarantee that it was his jeans, right?
No, we don't, but he was trying to prove that he's Elvis, so why
yeah,
he was
so then you would think,
one,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Right. Okay, so what else do we have? Is there anything else, or is that it? I mean, is it pretty much, so it's the first DNA test from the liver, liver
the
test, biopsy mm-hmm. of the liver. Then this one that Jesse was involved in, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
No.
Or is that
just the fact that people thought Bill Beeny was a fake? It was great in 2002 when Fox News came out and was able to say, "Hey, this backs up what Bill Beeny said 5 years ago."
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to dispute DNA.
Well, I think the really concerning thing is that, you know, all three of them,
mm-hmm.
these are all different results, right?
Correct. Yeah, there was no match between any of the three, Jesse, Elvis, or the body that was autopsied that was supposed to be Elvis, were all three different DNA structures. There was no match.
Hmm. So... That's perplexing. Now, the people that may not agree with you, and they're on the other side of the fence, and they think, oh, he's absolutely gone, he passed, it was real, we don't care what they've come out with or said since then. That's a fact. There are people out there that do believe that. And you know that, Mickey. There are people that are going to say, you know what, all this kind of stuff is a bunch of malarkey. It's not true. He did pass. He's not with us. Yada, yada, yada. When they've looked at this type of information or evidence or what have you, have you heard anything? Have any of them commented back what their opinions are on any of this at all?
I mean, I get emails on a daily basis. I get phone calls. I mean, I have people that contact me being newcomers to the whole conspiracy, and they say, hey, you know, Elvis is dead. There was a funeral. His family says he's dead. He's gone. And then I invite them and kind of walk them through my website, YouTube channel, and they change their mind and say, hey, you know what, you might be right. And then there's those people that you're not going to change their mind. They're stuck, and I get emails from them, and that's fine. I mean, how many years have we been told by the media that Elvis is dead? I mean, I don't blame a lot of people for thinking that. I don't – it's not my personal belief, but – they are welcome to theirs, you know. I have no problem with that.
Right.
I like talking to all Elvis fans, no matter what their belief is on this subject, because I'm an Elvis fan first. But
right.
But yeah, I do. I mean, I've seen people convert over to, yes, I think he's alive, and I've seen people that you can't budge, and that's fine.
Right. I guess my biggest it really is a conundrum, because it's not something that you can it's very perplexing to me. It's kind of confusing, and you kind of wonder why somebody would do something like this, or what would be the purpose? And then now, you know, if they are alive, would they want to make themselves known? Or are they going to live out their life, never returning back to the public? Now, I have heard of stories where there have been people, that I think, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes, or somebody did a show a few years ago, of former mafia individuals that were involved in the mafia, and then they were now somehow, they were witness in the witness protection program, and they were saying that they, you know, they were now, they had a new identity. So a lot of them had plastic surgery. They were given new names. They were hidden from the public. They were in remote towns, and nobody knew who they really were or what their original true identity was. So I believe this stuff can happen and can exist. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it happens all the time with witness protection. I mean, that's what it's there for, is to make people disappear. Our government has this perfected by now. I mean,
right.
I don't know if it's part of the witness protection program or not. I know he was involved in some pretty heavy sting operations with the government. So, you know, it's possible they hid him away. It's possible he hid himself away. I don't know.
Right. And, you know, it could very well be that he hid himself away if he didn't want this life anymore. You know, if this was not something that he wanted in his life, you know, then maybe he did that himself. You never know. Are there any accounts of any of the people that were close to him, whether or not they have an opinion one way or the other? Do you know?
Well, opinions have changed over the years. Marty Lacker was a member of the Memphis Mafia with Elvis. He was one of the witnesses for Elvis and Priscilla's wedding.
Okay.
He did an article for People magazine back, gosh, maybe 15 years ago, that said Elvis faked his death. He ran off with a mystery woman named Maria. They drove away, hiding in the back of a van, and years later he comes out and says, I made that story up, that wasn't true. That's happened so many times with different people, that they try to tell what I say is the truth. They tell that version, and then later they change their mind. You know, I've often wondered, are people scared into changing their minds? Are they paid into changing their minds? Are they... you know what? I don't know what transpires throughout these stories, but it's happened many times. So it's hard to say. You know, I know that Elvis's stepmother, Dee Stanley, that Vernon married after Gladys passed away, she said that she received a phone call from Elvis in 1978, which was a year after he passed away.
And
Dee says that this person sounded like Elvis, talked to her about things that only her and Elvis knew, and she always stuck to her guns on that story. She said Elvis definitely called her in 1978. She passed away this year, actually.
So she never changed her story.
Right, yeah, she stuck to that.
So that would be kind of weird. I mean, how would he all of a sudden, you know, so a year later, he just dials her up. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think so. That's kind of weird, you know. I just forgot a couple of things, you know. that would be kind of... See, that's another thing that would just throw a wrench into me. Because, you know, the way my brain works, I try to analyze everything. I'm analytical in a lot of things, and I try to be reasonable. And I like to see both sides of a story. You know, I mean, I will not tell you one way or the other if I think he's alive or if he's, you know, or if he's passed on. You know, I think that's my opinion, but, you know, I won't do that. I like to be fair balance on things. But there are, I know there are other people that share similar opinions to yours, and they believe like you do. I do. I did open it up to a couple. I want to let people know this. I did open it up to a couple of people that would have taken the other stance and have books out, and they've been out there in the media, and they were willing to do the show as long as you were not here, where they would be having to confront your belief, you know.
Okay.
So then I offered, well, how about if one of you go on first without the other one being there, and then the other one comes on, and they never got back to me. So that, you know, whatever. I always believe in fair balance. I think it's really important that we, you know, that we present not just something that's one-sided. You want to present both sides.
Right.
And I would just encourage people. I would just encourage the listeners. You know, you've heard Mickey's story. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to part one. We recap some of it tonight. Now you've heard some other stuff. And so you need to put one and one together. Go out and listen. Get on YouTube. Get on Google. Do a search and try to listen or read up on the other side of this. And then you come up with your own conclusion. I mean, that's what I've done. You know, I've come up with my own conclusion. But why don't we tell people once again how they can get in touch with you, your websites. Is there anything new and exciting coming up for you that you want to share? I know I didn't ask you about this before, but if there's anything that you want to specifically share, you know, feel free to.
Well, yeah, you can reach me very easily through my Facebook or my website. It's elvisconspiracy.webs.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's a link there directly to my Facebook. You can email me. You can inbox me. However you want to contact me, that's fine.
Okay. Do you have Twitter as well?
I have Twitter as well, and the link to that is also on my website. I use the hashtag the Presley Assignment.
Okay.
The as far as a future endeavors, I am working on something right now. I can't really get into it.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to get some new stuff out. A lot of new stuff in 2014. So I'll leave it at that.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. I mean, that's awesome. I really do appreciate you taking your time out. And I know there's a lot of people that contact you on a daily basis. And again, folks, if you want to reach him, you can reach him again at, and go ahead and give it once again, Mickey. So, and just spell it out for people just in case. You know, sometimes we don't type things in correctly in the URL, and we get it off. You know, we're missing a letter or what have you, and then we're not going to go to the website. So it's really important to get that right. So go ahead.
Absolutely. It's elvisconspiracy.webs.com, elvisconspiracy.webs.com. And you'll find links to all of my pages. Anything you want to see is right there. You can download my book from that page. You can download all of the FBI files on Elvis from that page. Everything is right there.
And it's webs.com, W-E-B-S, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you once again for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Joey.
And we'll definitely bring you on again. And folks, I want to again just tell you to make sure you go to his website. This is where you're going to get all the information. You heard it tonight. If you go to part one, you'll hear more. But again, I'm not giving in my opinions at all. I think you need to really take a look. If you're a big Elvis fan, you've really loved him and watched him and followed him, and you really want to know, and you've seen television shows on the topic, you really need to make up your own mind. But make sure you study both sides. You know, of course, that which Mickey has presented, and then go to the other side, those people that believe that he's actually passed on, that he is no longer with us, and he did actually die when they said he died. Interesting about Elvis' stepmom, I did not know that, so that was an interesting a real interesting bit of information and tidbit there, Mickey, that I did not know about. I don't think we've ever talked about that before.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, but again, that's interesting. I mean, she first came out with that story, what year, 1978. So back then, she probably wasn't too old, was she?
No, she would have been in her 60s.
Because she's in her 90s now?
Yeah, she just passed away this year.
Okay, so she was in her 90s, I take it, right?
Yeah.
So if she was in her 60s, you know, chances are she wasn't really out there. And so so the information that she gave people and stood by, her story, has rang through all these years. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So, again, folks, you need to make up your mind, decide for yourself. Check out Mickey's site. Again, Mickey, thank you so much. And we will definitely keep linked in here. And as soon as something new comes out, we'll be in touch with you. And, again, folks, you know, make sure that you take a listen to, if you get a chance, make sure you take a listen to part one, because, you know, part one has always grabbed my attention, at least, right? And and then part two, of course, tonight has been refreshing and with many much more information that we did not have before. Be sure to stay tuned this month to many of our upcoming shows, as well as this one will repeat. And till the next time, this is Joey saying good night, and hope that you join us real soon. Take care.